Most of history is God supernaturally working through what appears to be natural to us. God has no problem handling history. He can work out His will through human events, big or small, without any difficulty at all. Even rebellious people are used by God to get people where He wants them and to do what He wants done in this world. Yet, through it all, man feels and senses he is acting freely. This is the mystery of history.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 23 with a message titled Under Arrest.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
You have to commend Lysias for the fact that he gives his opinion that Paul ought to be set free. There's nothing worthy of his death or even being imprisoned. And so maybe that's why they went soft on Paul. You know, they weren't harsh on Paul. I mean, you know, some of their political maneuvering was not good, but you find that when he's received in Rome, he lives in a very nice place. When he's received in Caesarea, lives in a very nice place. When he goes to Rome, he's under house arrest there. So you might attribute that to, you know, even Lysias's letter that he writes. Well, verse 31 and 32, so the soldiers, in accordance with their orders, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris the next day, leaving the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. I practice this at home. My son has got a great language skills, but that part of my brain, I think, got, you know, salt water, just rusted it. It's the salt water and surfing. It's rusted. I need some WD-40 on that part of the brain. Or what, Elon Musk, he now can take part of your brain out and put in something. Anyway, I don't know. That's on the news. That different story there. But Antipatris, yeah. Now, realize they're going at night. They left at night, and it's about a 40-mile trek in the dark. Difficult, especially because a lot of spots in that area where there could be ambushes. So they go that 40 miles. Now, the good thing it is when you're always going up to Jerusalem. So it's actually down. So it's, you know, it's a decline as they're going down. So the soldiers that are marching, it's pretty good for them. I mean, still an arduous kind of march, but Antipatris, that it's a Roman colony and it was built by Herod the Great in honor of his father. And his father was Antipater. That was the name of his dad. And so he built a city in honor of him. And it was an ideal place because it was a Roman colony for an overnight rest. Now, they're there and they figure, okay, we're over halfway there. There's only 20, 25 miles more to go. And the dangerous part is over because that first part, a lot of areas to ambush. And so 200 foot soldiers, 200 spearmen, they went back to Jerusalem. So now for the next 20, 25 miles down to Caesarea, it's just the horsemen, Paul on his horse, but it's the horsemen, and they would arrive in probably less than a day. And so if they left early in the morning, they would arrive there probably in the afternoon. And it was all pretty much flat area. It was open area, ambush, very unlikely, but you're not going to be messing with this cavalry, these horsemen. And this area was populated mostly by Gentiles and not by Jews. And so the 70 Roman cavalry was pretty much sufficient for that last part of that journey. So we come to verse 33 to the end. And when these had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. When he had read it, he asked from what province he was. And when he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will give you a hearing after your accusers arrive also, giving orders for him to be kept in Herod's praetorium. So Paul is to appear before this governor, this Marcus Antonius Felix, a bad man, not a good man, a bad man. When the wicked rule, the righteous are hide. The righteous don't do well. And he was appointed governor of Judea about 52 AD. He reigned for about 7 years, but then complaints came to Nero and he was taken out of power. Festus was put in there. But the historian Tacitus says, and I quote, Felix indulged in every kind of barbarity and lust, exercising the power of a king in the spirit of a slave. He was one of the most depraved leaders, one of the most depraved men of his time. And he was the first slave in history to become governor in a Roman province. Now, Felix and Pallas, which was his brother, Pallas was favored by Emperor Claudius. And that's pretty much how Felix got his position, by his brother Pallas. You see, Felix and Pallas, they were both slaves and they became freed men. And that could happen. But by Pallas's influence, Felix was made governor. Now, because he was somehow, you'd have to go into secular history and find out why there was such a, you know, an affection of Claudius, this emperor there, this Roman emperor for Pallas, but there was. Now, Felix, getting back to Felix, he was married three times to three princesses, and one after another. The first, we don't know anything about. The second was the granddaughter of Antony and Cleopatra. And the third, he married her to get in good graces with the Jews, seeking favor with the Jews. And that was Drusilla. And we'll get to her in a little bit. Not this morning, but next time. And she was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I. Remember him? He had James and Peter arrested. He put James to death by the sword. The next day he was going to bring Peter out and kill him. And yet a prayer meeting happened and an angel of the Lord let Peter out of prison. Herod had the soldiers that were guarding him put to death. He went down to Caesarea, just to retreat a little time. I guess he was all stressed out because of that. And then he began to speak to the people of Tyre and Sidon, who were benefited by Herod. And so Herod, as he's speaking there in that amphitheater, there might even be a picture of it. As he was speaking there, he had this silvery robe on, and it was glittering in the sun, and they were crying out the words of a god and not of a man. And he took the glory to himself, and the Bible says he was eaten with worms. And so that's his history. Just really not a nice guy. But you see, Felix, being married to his daughter, thought that he could have an in with the people, with the Jews. But he was a totally corrupt and immoral kind of individual. He would hire hitmen to to murder his closest supporters if they displeased him. Paul is going to have to stand before this man. So not something you'd really look forward to. And yet at the same time, Paul was so in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ and so knowing what Jesus had told the disciples. Remember when Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 9, "Be on guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you'll be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them." So Paul knew what he was in for. He was going to have to deal with kings and governors and that kind of thing, and he was there to preach. So Felix asked him, "Where are you from?" He says, "Cilicia." Well, that was Felix's jurisdiction. You see, there were two kinds of provinces in Rome. There were the under the Senate province, where you would have a lesser court, and then there were the provinces that were under the emperor. And Cilicia and Judea were an imperial province under the emperor, which is good, because Paul's trial, he'll eventually appeal to the emperor and be able to go to Rome and speak in Rome. It wouldn't be a lower court that Paul would have to deal with. And so God's providence, again, working behind the scenes, bringing Paul to Rome face to face with Nero. And boy, when we get there, that is really a story in itself. You see, when we talk about history, you think secular history, but all history is His story. It's God's story, God working, directing world events, and those of believers according to His divine plan. And that's what's happening here. I think of the divine plan, and as one commentator wrote, "Even stubborn, obstinate, resistant, rebellious people can be used by God to bring people to where He wants them and to do what He wants done. But what gives God grief and heartache is when His own people resist His will and stubbornly determine to have something which God has said it is not time for yet." Boy, wait upon the Lord, just waiting upon the Lord to renew our strength. Well, now Paul is going to be in the praetorium. That literally is the governor's palace. Lavish palace, again, Herod the Great. He built that, and it was served as the capitol building there in Caesarea. It was the official residence of the Roman governor, and it became Paul's residence for 2 years. I mean, if you're going to stay in custody for 2 years, and you see why Felix didn't want to let him go, but for 2 years, it's almost as though, you know, would you want to stay in a nice, kind of almost like a palace? I mean, Paul's in pretty nice surroundings. It's almost like he goes from rags to riches while under arrest. The Bible says the gecko, well, it says the lizard, but it's the gecko for us. "You may grasp with your hands, and yet it is in king's palaces." Proverbs 30:28. In other words, a little nothing, as all of a sudden he lives in king's palaces, a gecko. Well, we like them because they eat mosquitoes. But the idea is, here's Paul in basically a king or a governor's palace where he's got to wait it out. You see, God is, He's in charge. He's in charge of the child of God. He's in charge of Paul. He's in charge of us all through the crisis that we're going through. Remember when Paul was speaking to the church and they were warning him, they were saying, "Paul, everywhere you go, you know that persecution and affliction," Paul said, "await me. Everywhere I go, they tell me that." He said, "But none of these things move me. They don't move me. I'm not afraid. I've got the Lord on my side. The Lord is with me. I'll take courage." The Bible tells us in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." You see, God is all around us this morning. God is with us. There are angels here. We can't see him. I think if somehow God would grant us eyes to see into the spiritual realm, literally in the spiritual realm, and see all the angels and the glory, probably most of us would faint and have a heart attack. So God doesn't do that. And so he says, well, you got to apprehend that by faith. And so we do. We do. They're encamped around us. And they care for us. I love what Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, 19th century, first part of 20th century, he says, let us trust in God and be very courageous for the gospel. And the Lord himself will screen us from all harm. That's Paul. That's you. That's me. Jack Arnold, I like as he kind of summarizes this whole thing. He says it, I couldn't say it any better than him. But he says, we see through the life of Paul how God manipulated human history. It might not look like God is involved at all, and yet all events occupied at his command, accomplishing his purpose. Most of history is God supernaturally working through what appears to be natural to us. God has no problem handling history. He can work out his will through human events, big or small, without any difficulty at all. Even rebellious people are used by God to get people where he wants them and to do what he wants done in this world. Yet, through it all, man feels and senses he is acting freely. This is the mystery of history. That's why I say it's his story. Maybe in heaven, God will show us all his hand upon all these events. And this is why we can say, along with Paul, of course, Peter said it, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. And realize this, Christian, brother and sister, God does work all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Even the mess that we have right now in Hawaii and in our country, I don't know how, but I know you're here this morning and I rejoice in that. And we realize that God's plans for us, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, God's plans for us are not evil, but they're good. They're for welfare and for a future. I want to end in prayer at this point, but again, I'd mention how God uses secular government to accomplish his purposes in the world, in the church, and in your life. You might wonder, like with Paul, how all of a sudden he was protected and able to do God's will. You might want to wonder how last week at this time, it's a shutdown, not supposed to be here. But let me show you just how secular government got us going. So why don't we show that clip by President Trump?
Today I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon governors to allow our churches and places of worship to open right now. If there's any question, they're going to have to call me, but they're not going to be successful in that call. These are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue, go to their mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. The ministers, pastors, rabbis, imams, and other faith leaders will make sure that their congregations are safe as they gather and pray. I know them well. They love their congregations. They love their people. They don't want anything bad to happen to them or to anybody else. The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less.
More prayer and not less. Just as Lacius said, you know what? He doesn't belong in prison. I love it. Our president said, hey, they don't belong outside the church. They belong in the church. We need prayer. More of it, not less of it. Let's stand and pray and ask God's blessing. And then we'll do an a cappella song. Remember, next week we're going to do a Pentecost Sunday time of communion as well. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, we do see human history really being as your history. It's God's history. And you put man, Lord, just at the forefront. Lord, so many doing your will, so many reluctant to do that. Lord, but we know that you are working all things together for good, for those that love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, we love you and we confess our love for you. We thank you so much that we can be together and in this time of worship. So Lord, have your continued hand upon each one of us, Lord, and bless the work of your hand. Bless our families. Lord, we just mourn with those that have gotten the virus and have gone from this life to the next. Lord, we know even those in our congregation, Lord, that are with you right now, and we thank you for that. Lord, but we also just thank you that prayer does move the hand of God, and we thank you for those that have been diligently praying, Lord, for just a fresh work of your Holy Spirit. And I pray with this homestay, it would be a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit blown upon your people, Lord, that we would have a renewed faith. It wouldn't have just been a break from the church and a vacation from you, Lord, but it would really be a contemplation of our life and our family and what we're doing for the Lord. God, I pray that we would come back many times stronger, many times more committed to you. And so, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 23, titled Under Arrest. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 1. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.